greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon returning. We believe that. Do you believe that this morning? We should be believing that and living that. Appreciated this service, and as I sat here this morning and contemplated on the where we find ourselves, sandwiched between Memorial Day and Ascension, I felt like the message does not fit in either category at all. And but I do think, I'm thankful for the songs that were sung in relation to the Ascension of our Lord and Savior. Also appreciated the devotional related to the to Memorial Day and heroes. The message I have studied to share this morning is a message that is strange. I've never heard anything like it preached, and so I feel like I'm out of the box a little bit, and hopefully Brother Chad's prayer is true, that the message can be an encouragement. I'm not sure how he said it anymore in our Christian lives, and I think it can be that way. It is a message that deals with something that is very, we almost take for granted, I guess you could say, in church life. I struggled with the title. The title, as I plan to share it, is simply three words: ordination by lot. And this message came to me as an encouragement from some others, and thought it'd be helpful to look at our ordinations and how we do them. This is not a qualifications message. That will come later, Lord willing. Ordination by the lot, or using the lot in our ordinations. Like I said, it's something that is an integral part of our upbringing. I don't know how many of you can remember ordinations. Probably most of you. The characteristic of our ordinations is a very solemn event. Sometimes people that are not familiar with Mennonite or Anabaptist background can hardly get their minds around that. If someone is nominated to be in the lot for an ordination, and they think there ought to be celebration or something. And it's interesting, studying back through history like I've done for this, it's interesting that the tone of ordinations that we have today is very similar going all the way back, as long as I can find history on it. It is a suspenseful event. In other words, there's an apprehension, there's an unknown aspect to it. We come together for an ordination and we do not know. We do not know what God will show. We see the hand of God moving and directing in ordinations and the affairs of men in a way that we're not used to. In our Sunday morning service like this, we don't see the hand of God coming down. Maybe we've never seen the hand of God literally, but I mean in a visible way and doing something. It's unusual. It is a very vivid and emotional service. Some of my earliest memories involve ordinations. My father took our family to ordinations when I was young, and it made a tremendous impression on me. And I want to give that encouragement to families here this morning to do that, to take your children to ordinations. Two of the three times my own father was in the lot, I have memories of that. Several of the older bishops presently in our former group, I have memories of being there at the ordination and feeling the heaviness and the emotion of that event. So I have memories of that. What does the New Testament say about the use of the lot? This is the first point I want to look at. What does the New Testament say about the use of the lot? The Old Testament has numerous references to the use of the lot, but it is specific, but not specific toward ordaining spiritual leaders. If you let your minds go back to, we're not going to turn here, but 1 Samuel 16, the account of God calling David, he sent the prophet Samuel. And Samuel looked at this family, and he looked at those sons, and he said, surely it's one of these. Surely it's this one. Surely it's the next one. But God said no. The Lord said unto Samuel in verse 7, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's an example of an ordination, you could say, of a leader in Israel. However, the lot is not used there to decide that. When we look at the use of the lot in our ordinations, we have to say that there is no thus saith the Lord, that this is how you shall do it. It's not there. It's not in the scriptures. So we could ask the question then, does God intend for it to be used by the church today? If God did not say this is how you do it, maybe we're being in error. It is mentioned in relation to one ordination, and you can turn to Acts chapter 1, and this is this account is read at ordinations. And we'll read that. We're not going to read all those verses. Maybe verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And when they had prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. It's interesting to note that this account is before the coming of the Holy Spirit, and this is probably not a new thought to you. I might have said it myself, I'm not sure, but there's a thought sometimes that the lot is not to be used today because it's part of the Old Testament. It's part of the old dispensation. Because when the Holy Spirit came, after the Holy Spirit comes in the next chapter, we don't have the use of the lot mentioned again in relation to ordaining a church leader. Now, I do believe that the New Testament began with the death and resurrection of Christ, not the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's my feeling on that. Maybe I'm wrong. The Holy Spirit was certainly not inactive in this time. We don't believe that. We can also think, in relation to the question, does God intend for it to be used by the church today? We can also think of some in the past who were ordained by the use of the lot, but were not faithful in their calling. Does this mean that the lot was faulty? And the answer to that is no. We do not sin that grace abounds, but God can work in mysterious ways to accomplish his divine purposes. You need to believe that. God has a purpose in all he allows, even when it doesn't make human sense. And we have proof that God's blessing was on the use of the lot in this ordination. In chapter 2, verse 14, turn over a page, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, and so on. Peter, standing up with the 11. Well, Matthias was there. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit gave his confirmation, and it was certainly not an aberration or something that was done out of order. The scriptures bear no record to that whatsoever. In fact, Matthias is a rather silent figure I did not study that. I'm not sure if much is known about where he went from here. But we do not have record that the scripture was condemning the use of the lot here. Even though there does not seem to be a Bible command to use the lot, we believe it is a way that God can bless it, can bless to decide between multiple nominees, between multiple men who would be qualified. We believe that this is an acceptable way. And I'd like to read a quote from this book. And I think this is well written. The book is Pennsylvania Mennonite Heritage Magazine, and it's all on the use of the lot, different historical profiles. And I just wanted, I like this quote. This is written by a Titus Martin in the 1943 Gospel Herald. He says, in supplying our home congregations with laborers, if one would come and say he has convictions that he should fill the place, we might question his fitness. And I'll say that comes in again and again in old Mennonite history in relation to the lot and ordinations, is that there's the hesitancy to ordain someone who is very vocal and out front with the fact that he's qualified, that he feels God is calling him to do this. There's been a hesitation, and that kind of terminology has not fit in our circles and in history. Okay, I broke in with that, going on with the quote. Then again, conviction is not always a safe guide, as sometimes when a number are called to pass through the lot, we might have quite a few ministers of conviction or possible feeling would be this a deciding factor. Sometimes the lot falls on one who had no convictions. This is the part that I want. And the people thought he would not fit, but after the lot was found in his book, he got convictions, yielded and applied himself to the work, and turned out to be a mighty man for God. It is not primarily what a man is, but what the Lord can do through him. And I really like that quote. Number four, under what does the New Testament say about the use of the lot, is how were they ordained if the lot was not used? Now, I realize that it might have been used and just not mentioned. But we're going to continue our traverse through the book of Acts here. Turn next to Acts chapter 6. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Familiar account as well. This is the appointment of the seven deacons. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called, notice the 12, again, the inclusion of Matthias, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, going back to verse 5, it says it uses the word chose. That word chose means to select. It's just what it sounds like. It just, apparently there was a need, and there was a need of seven, and seven names were given. And there was no use of the lot here. They were just appointed. They were ordained. No, it does not use the word ordained here, but they were chosen, they were set before the apostles, they were commissioned, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. Turn next to Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, to the city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Using the word ordained, a word is used here, but the word ordained here means to stretch or to be a hand reacher or voter by raising the hand. It seems to imply that there was a voting process that was done here by the disciples, and there's no mention of a lot. It seems like they were ordained by appointment. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 has this to say, wherefore, Paul speaking about himself, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. And that word there, ordained, means to place in the widest application, literally and figuratively, properly in a passive or horizontal position, kneel down. So the picture here is where Paul is kneeling and receiving a charge. Putting it into our terminology, but that is how we do it. The one that is ordained kneels, and the charge is given to him. Ordained a preacher. Also Titus 1:5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. Ordain here means to place down permanently, or figuratively, to designate, constitute, convoy, appoint. Again, no mention of the lot. Next question, next point is, what is the PMC practice for using the lot? And I'm just going to read a segment of the decrees here. Article 7, under ministry, Acts 20:28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock which over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Number 1, ordinations, Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, I just read that verse. It goes on to say this, inasmuch, this is breaking in actually, inasmuch as the apostles filled a vacancy among themselves by the use of the lot as recorded in Acts 1:15-26, and since the use of the lot with prayer and dependence upon God is also advocated in other scriptures for use in important matters, we believe the use of the lot is a scriptural way of finding God's will and promoting peace and unity in the church. Proverbs 16:33, we'll look at that verse later. We believe that ministry is called by the Holy Ghost and chosen by nominations and the casting of the lot when there are more nominees than needed. When ordinations are called for and approved by the bishops, the district, and the local ministry, the council of the brotherhood is asked. If this council is favorable, then nominations may be received from the brotherhood, the brethren who receive the required nominations, 5 for bishop, and 2 or 3 for minister and deacon, and through examination and instruction give clear evidence of the qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 2, and Titus 1 shall share the lot. And I have... That is ending the quote from the decrees. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on that. I think it's self-explanatory. The next couple points here I'm going to read as I have written, and it's again under the PMC practice for using the lot. I'm just going to explain some of the more details about how this is done. All names that receive the required nominations during the council are shared publicly. If the ministry has concerns about a name that received the required nominations, it will still be shared openly. If the concerns are deemed to be legitimate during follow-up investigations, the brother may be asked to withdraw from the class. Efforts are put forth to make this a mutual decision by all involved. The number of books is determined by the number of those who receive sufficient nominations. The lot is placed in one book by a brother, an ordained brother. Often, if it's a minister ordination, there'll be a minister assigned to do that. If it's a deacon ordination, a deacon brother. He places a lot in one book. A rubber band is placed around all the books to keep the lot from slipping out and then scrambled. to the point where he does not know which book is which book has a slip in it, and then he gives it to a second ordained brother who had his back turned during the process and mixes them again. And he mixes them not knowing, having any clue whatsoever where the lot was, ensuring that no earthly man knows which book in which it was placed. The purpose of the exactness and thoroughness of the process is to be open and transparent as possible, so that it is truly the work of God and not man. The next point is, why do we use the lot? Why do we use the lot? We already talked about the scripture, what the scripture says about it, and how ordinations were done. Why do we use the lot today? Well, I believe it is man's way of stepping back and allowing God to move and reveal his will. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." When it comes down to it, we feel confident to let it in the hands of God. Allowing God to show whether these two, or three, or four, or how many it is. Proverbs 18:18 says, "A lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between a mighty," and the thought there is that it brings peace and unity. It's not the work of men that decides between this brother or this brother. If it's the work of men, then blame can go on someone because they chose, because the vote was, because of all kinds of things. We lay it up to the Lord, and the Lord can choose. And I believe I need to stay in order here with my notes, but I had to think of, yes, in the decrees, what I read there, it says, "We believe the use of the lot is a scriptural way of finding God's will and promoting peace and unity in the church." And when the lot is used, it causes contentions to cease, building unity. Come across this quote by, who was it? Adam Clark. And he's a little heavy, so hopefully you can catch what I'm saying here. But he said this in relation to the lot: "But those who need most to have recourse to the lot are those who have not piety to pray, nor faith to trust God for a positive decision." In other words, we could come to the point where we depend on the lot because we don't want to have faith and trust in God. And I don't think we're there this morning. I don't think in our churches we are there. And he goes on to say this: "The lot should never be resorted to in indifferent matters. They should be of the utmost, greatest importance, in which it appears impossible for human prudence or foresight to determine. In such case, the lot is an appeal to God, and he disposes of it according to his goodness, mercy, and truth. The result, therefore, cannot be fortuitous or lucky chance." The lot is not chance. And we need to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to work. And he does that in the nominating process. We don't use the lot in the nominating process. We don't put 20 books up here. So we believe that God uses that God speaks through spiritual men to bring nominations that are good nominations. And then but then if there's more than one, we bring it to the Lord and allow him to choose between the ones that spiritual brethren placed. Now, the next question is, how can the lot be misused? How can the lot be misused? And number one is, if we manipulate it for our own agenda. Acts 20:28, and we already we already looked at this verse, but to look at it again, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Ordinations are heavy work, is a heavy work. And it needs to be under the full guidance and control of the Holy Spirit, not man's agenda. Ordinations are a work done in tandem with the Holy Spirit of God and spiritual brothers. We must have faith. This is important, brothers and sisters, this morning. We must have faith that God and believe that God is actually working through the lot. If we have doubts, we should not be using it. And I fully believe that. We need to have faith and believe that God is actually working through it. If we have doubts, it's going to undermine it. If we have doubts, we are saying that the issues at hand are too important to let God lead the way. So we feel like we need to force ourselves because it's too important. We need to make sure that whatever. We cannot believe in it or have faith that God is working through the use of the lot only when it goes the way we think it should. We cannot believe in it only when it goes our way, only when the brother that's ordained that we kind of wanted, if we have thoughts like that. And then we believe in the lot, but if it doesn't go the way we want it, then we don't believe it. That's not having faith that God can work through it. And I want to say here that I realize that some church groups do some things differently than what I outlined here. And I do want to respect there are decisions in doing that, and I don't want to condemn that. But I cannot see how we can be consistent in wanting and desiring the Holy Spirit to move if we have, behind the scenes in secret, arranged some names in a way to tilt the composition of the class. I also believe that we disrespect the use of the lot when we fail to give support and love to those who go through the lot but are not chosen. And if the lot is used at our upcoming ordination or dwelling, there will be a brother that has not been chosen, and they need our love and support as well. And I also believe we can misuse the lot if we believe that it is the only way to be ordained. Someone ordained without the use of the lot is or can be legitimately ordained by God. And what I'm talking about here is a situation where only one brother receives the number of required number of nominations. That is just as legitimate. And I think the scriptures that we looked at in the first part of the service bear that out. The scriptures do not command the use of the lot. So a brother that is ordained because of nominations, because he's the only one that received the nominations, is just as legitimately ordained as someone who has gone through the lot. And I believe we really need to look at it that way. And I bring this question in, and there could be discussion on this, but I've heard this before, and I've read this, this question, should there be an extra book? Meaning that you have an ordination and you have a class and you have an extra book there, meaning that if the extra book is taken, then the one that God is calling has not been named. Or that there's really God's will that there's not an ordination after all. And I would say no, very quick no to that, because we need to trust that God, again, going back to the point, we can trust that God can equally work with the spiritual brothers in a church, just as he can through the use of the lot. The use of the lot is to determine what we do not know. So we have two qualified brethren, or three or four, and we do not know which one will be best. That's for God to decide. And that's the way we let it in his lap. In closing, I'd like to just give a few facts and antidotes and interesting little trivia about ordinations. Did you ever wonder who was the youngest man that was ordained in Mennonite history? He was a man not of Mennonite background. His father was Baptist. His name was Ralph Mallon, and he was ordained at 18 years old. And he felt the call as before he went to the ordination that morning. He felt the call. He was ordained at Fraser Mennonite Church in Chester County in 1945. And that might be close to, some of you may know that area. Ralph Mallon ordained at 18. Also read of a B. Lemon Crable from the Crables Meeting House, who ordained in 1913, who was 19 years old. He did not live many years after that. It was interesting to note. George R. Brunk, this would be George R. Brunk Sr., was ordained minister while single. I was going to say, Ralph Mallon was single, obviously 18, that's a little young to be married, but he was single. He was a single man. He got married then at the age of 21. George R. Brunk Sr. was ordained minister while single at the age of 21 years old. He was ordained minister, and he was ordained bishop at the age of 26. Some interesting thoughts on that, or interesting observations there. There's many stories in this book. There's those who were passed over in the lot many times. I have personal memories, I believe, of a brother that was ordained deacon many years ago, but he was in the lot maybe 7 or 8 times before he was ordained. I could be corrected on that. Some of you would know him or even be related to him. We can talk about that later. But John W. Weaver, 1909, was ordained the 6th time after being in the lot 5 times. A passionate and effective preacher and evangelist, he was later passed through the lot 3 times for bishop, but was never chosen. That was John W. Weaver. Oreo Miller was not ordained. He was a very influential leader, but he was in the lot several times and was never ordained. He was finally in the lot again in 1941, later in life, and he received permission to sit out the selection process, secure in the direction his call had taken him. He was very influential at that point, organizing MCC. Oreo Miller is a name you probably recognize, but he was in the lot and was never chosen. Overcoming hesitation, there's been those that were called to be in the lot and were very, very hesitant. Of course, we have the Old Testament story of Jonah. We know what he did. He took off and went running away, but God called him back. Peter Risser, 1737, arrived in America in 1737. He noted that one of his motivations in leaving in his home in Switzerland, and now this is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One is that it's the use of the lot going back to the old, back to Switzerland. It mentions it here. But again, starting back over again, he often noted that one of his motivations in leaving his home in Switzerland was to escape chances of being taken into the lot in his father's home congregation. He wasn't in his Lancaster County home long before he was in the same position. Selected by lot, he served the church well for many years, convinced of the, quote, impossibility of fleeing from the presence of God, end quote. I want to read the account of one more. And this is a well-known bishop by the name of Noah Mack. And he was originally from the Franconia area to the east of us toward Philadelphia. Very influential leader. He requested Bishop oversight of the churches in York County, even though he was not living there, but he had a special burden for the York County churches, and he was bishop there for many years. And I'll just simply read what is stated here. Some of this is his own words. As a natural leader, Noah Mack was a public school teacher for many years. This is written from a third perspective, a third person. A leader at church, at teachers' institutes, and active in church work, he had a strong conviction from childhood for the ministry. Yet the lot did not fall to Noah when he was nominated for deacon at Groffdale in 1894. Or when nominated for minister in 1895. It disconcerted him. Perhaps the lot was not the sure way to determine God's choice for the ministry. Noah's mind was very unsettled, but he consented to share the lot when he was nominated for minister once more in 1900. And this is his own words. Now I had to go through another trial of soul and mind. I had partly lost faith in the lot because I thought it failed in few instances. I was bound by conviction that I should preach, and I'd lost faith in the lot, which was the only means by which one could get into the ministry. I wanted to believe. As Bishop Brubaker preached, the struggle between the power of unbelief and faith became so violent that I lost consciousness for a short time. It was in the form of a trance. Even though the books were not set yet, Brother Brubaker still preaching, the book was before me transparent so that I saw the lot lying in the book. It was revealed to me that the lot had fallen to me before even the books were set. The ordeal of the conflict in my soul was so severe and the result so clear that I have not doubted the lot since, but it will fall according to the will of the Lord. That's Noah Mack in his own words. And it's in that turmoil that he felt called, but he was not chosen. And he was in the lot again, and the struggle was so real to him that he lost consciousness, and God revealed to him that he would be chosen. Well, more could be shared on that. Time after time in history, the faithfulness of God is shown by the records in history of choosing by the lot men that were used by God in mighty ways to build his church. And I stand before you here this morning, and I want to say that I'm a full supporter of the use of the lot, and I'm looking forward to its usage here if God calls that. I simply want to close with this, with turning to Romans 8. One of the things that we need to preach in our messages is the power of the Holy Spirit and his moving in our circles. We probably don't emphasize it enough. Sometimes we shy away from that because of the charismatic movement where they emphasize the Holy Spirit work above everything else. And I don't want to do that. But we need to have a real vision for what for living in the Spirit. And so I just thought I'd close with reading some of these familiar verses again. Romans 8, 1 through 9. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This morning, we're living. You are living under the control of the Holy Spirit, or you are not. And I am that way. And it is so important. And we cannot expect this morning to expect the blessing of God in our upcoming ordination if he calls us there, if we're not living in the Spirit now. And Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And God will lead through the use of the law, through an ordination. He will continue to lead us and guide the congregation here at Kirkwood, and as we ordain another leader. If there is a work of the church that needs Holy Spirit guidance, it is the choosing of new leaders. It is so imperative that the Holy Spirit has free course in our hearts and lives, convicting us of sin, living in repentance now so that the Holy Spirit can work in the future in our lives, in our congregation, and be a blessing to the church at large. Let's kneel for prayer.